We began a couple of weeks ago talking to you about the main thing, how to keep our foundation strong. So we're continuing that today. Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans? To the book of Romans this morning is where we're going to be. As you're doing that, let me say hello to our campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministry, and I get the opportunity week in and week out not only to preach to the North Campus, but to several other campuses that are gathering together to make a difference and impact their community, and we're glad you're there. Let me just say to you real quickly, tonight I am actually at the Savannah campus at 6 o'clock tonight, and we're going to do a Sunday night live there. For those of you who are close, we welcome you to come and be a part of that service tonight as we gather together at our Savannah campus at 6 o'clock tonight. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the main thing. The first week, we talked about how that we need to keep the God of the house in the house of God, right? And that it's important for us to always make Jesus the priority in everything that we're doing. The second week, we talked about the Bible, that the Word of God is our foundation. It's the tool that we use for life and how that we grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, I talked to you about lordship, that we got a lot of people who are accepting Jesus as Savior, but there's not a whole lot of people that want to receive Him as Lord. And so that's what we talked about last week. This week, I'm going to talk to you on the subject of whatever happened to sin. So let's read, all right? The book of Romans, if you would go there, Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read to you about six verses of Scripture here, beginning in verse number 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, that's all of us, because all sin, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. In other words, before Moses went up and received the Ten Commandments, there was sin. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, to the time of the giving of the law, even over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment, one of the ten or whatever, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Adam is the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the gift is not like the trespass. Now, the gift is talking about Jesus. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses. That's from the time of Adam until the time Jesus died, and even now in our lives. And it says, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Now, there's a whole lot of theology in there, okay? And here's what I want us to get to today. I want us to understand that everybody listening to me, everybody that's born on this planet, everybody has sinned. In fact, just to make you feel better, would you just look at your neighbor and say, you've sinned? Just go ahead. Just do it. You've been wanting to do that, some of you, for a really long time, right? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I did a Google, don't do this right now because then you'll get lost. Go do it when you get home. I did a Google search of just the list of sins, and it was just overwhelming. I found one that listed over 600 sins. I think I had about 599 of them. Anyway. When we begin to talk about sin, it's kind of an overwhelming concept. We kind of get a little nervous and say, oh, no, it's going to be one of those sermons today, and it is going to be one of those sermons today, but it's going to be one of those sermons today that helps us to understand that there is an aspect of sin that we need to take very seriously. We cannot just allow sin to rule in the life, especially of a believer. It's not fair for us to come to that place where we get saved and come in a relationship with Jesus Christ and then to continue living the old lifestyle, the old way. We've got to understand that when the Word of God calls us into living the abundant life, that means I've got to leave the old life behind, amen, and I've got to move in to the freedom that Jesus Christ brings. So let's talk about it. What does it mean to sin? Well, first of all, the first aspect there is just breaking God's law. What the Word of God says, that's sin. When I break the law, 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. It's just doing what I want to do. How many of you know this about the law? How many of you know that the law does not have the power to change behavior? Do you know that? Let me prove it to you. If the law had the power to change behavior, there would be nobody in prison or jail today. The reason people go to jail or prison is because what? They break the law, right? And so in our lives, we read the law, we read the Old Testament, we read those things, and we see that list, how many ever it is, if it's 100, 500, 600, whatever it is, and we look at that, but if we're not careful, we begin to try to understand and unravel it. Well, what it just means is, when we break God's law, it just means stepping over the line. It just means stepping over. I got to be careful in doing it. You don't do this anymore, because if you did this in school now, they'd put you in jail or something. But in my day, that's 100 years ago. In my day, when you went to school, you'd get out on the playground and somebody'd start messing with you. Now, some of you know where I'm going. Somebody'd start messing with you, and you do this. You just draw a line. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody remember that? You just draw a line, and that person, and you just say, if you step over that line, right? Come on, you know it's, you step over that line, I'm going to take you out. And am I the only one who did that? Now, if they were bigger than me and I stepped over the line, then I'd just step back and draw another line, you know? If they weren't bigger than me, I'm tearing into them, right? Now, don't do that. Don't follow, you know, my example there. But that's what it means in Scripture, is to break God's law. It's to step over the line. God's drawn a line, and we've decided we want to step over. Here's the deal about the law. We read the Old Testament, and we go, man, God's so mean, and he's so hateful, and he's so hard-hearted. No, well, understand this. The law is a reflection of God's character. All right? It's who he is. And so he shows us his character, but it's based on his holiness. God's a holy God, and there's no sin in him. And so God says, here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's what you've got to do. Here's how you've got to live. And if you want to be holy as I'm holy, here's how you go about it. But what we know is that man read the law, and the second aspect is not breaking the law. The second aspect of sin is coming short of the law. In other words, it's that whole aspect there is that we see it. 1 John 5:17 says all wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. In other words, there are some sins. The Word of God tells you some things. If you do some things to your body, if you choose to live a certain lifestyle that the Word of God says not to live, you are going to die before your time. All right? I mean, it didn't take the Surgeon General to put it on the side of a pack of whatevers. God's Word says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Treat it right. Right? But the Word of God there is telling us that in that aspect, some things lead to death, but other things, it's just falling short. We didn't reach it. We didn't make it. See, here's the deal about the law of God. The law of God is like the physical laws of the universe, all right? You don't have to believe in gravity, but it still works. I don't believe in gravity. I just confess today that there is no gravity. Step off the roof. Right? Step off the roof. Gravity shows up and says, I know you didn't believe in me, but guess what? What goes up? It's going to come down, right? And so it's the same way with the law of God. God has instituted laws, and he's placed them there. And if we're not careful, we say, well, I don't know if God really means that, or if he really does. No, wait a minute. Remember, it is his character. It's his holiness that we're looking at, and I'm never going to reach God's holiness, right? Let me help you. You're not either, except by his grace. Now, here's the wonderful thing about grace. Here's what grace is. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve, right? Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve, which is salvation, all right? But there's a twin sister to grace, and that's mercy. Grace is God giving to me what I don't deserve, which is salvation. Mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve, which is punishment. All right? And so they go hand in hand. We live this life. When I look at the Word of God, I go, man, I feel short there today. The Bible said turn the other cheek. I didn't. Right? Come on. You know, I haven't talked about it in a while. You know, sometimes you put these bumper stickers on your car. You put these, you know, symbols of the Holy Spirit on your bumper. Right? And I've said for years, you can't have a dove on your bumper and a bird out the window. You're seeing if you're still with me. Right? I mean, we got to learn to come in. Lord, I fell short today. I got to go scrape the dove off today. Whatever it is, it's that whole aspect that we're called to live the life that Jesus Christ has called us to. The third aspect of sin is God's requirements. What is it that God requires in my life? What is it that he is saying to me in the Scripture? One day there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees were always in Jesus' business. They're always coming up, and just to explain to you, the Pharisees are the legalist of religion. They're just legalists. Y'all know some legalist Christians, just real, everything is legalistic, right? It's just, it's God's going to get you, and God's going to cut your head off, and you're going to go to hell if you don't do right. I mean, this whole thing. Now, the Sadducees were the liberals. They didn't believe anything. I mean, you start studying Scripture, and you'll find out they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe, you know, they didn't believe in any of that. Well, that's why they were sad, you see. I've been waiting to work that in. Come on. I work on this stuff. Y'all got to work with me, okay? And so you got the Pharisees over here legalistically approaching Jesus, and you got the Sadducees over here who are, and they're always hammering him. And so they come to him one day, and they said to him, hey, Jesus, we got a question. And they're trying to trip him up. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus doesn't even slow down. It didn't even slow him. Why? No, watch this. When you've written the book, right? In the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was made by him. When you are the Logos in life, you are the Word, you're not going to get tripped up by somebody trying to be fancy. And Jesus just looked at them and he said, here it is. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and your neighbor as yourself. He said all those things in the Old Testament, he said they wrap up in your loving the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And as I study this over the past several weeks and months now, I begin to think, you know what? That Jesus was right. No, he really was. Everything that the Word of God tells me falls into one of those two categories. Everything that I should do for God. I have no idols. Well, then that means I love him more than I love anything else. All these things. I'm going to treat my neighbor. I'm not going to lie on him. I'm not going to be covetous. I'm going to steal from him. All of it winds up with two commands. But when I look at that, and I don't know about you, when I look at that, there are those moments that I don't live up to what I know. That's what it means, living up to what I know, right? The Bible says in the book of James, if anyone knows to do good and you don't do it, what does it say? It's sin to us. It's sin if I know to do good. See, listen, I want you to get this. Sin is not just breaking God's law, it's breaking God's heart. Now, I'm going to stop here for a minute because I want us to see this, because I think that a lot of us have missed that last part of what I just said. We have taken into consideration that the Word of God and what God says, and so we get real legalistic about the Word of God. Well, the Word of God says this, the Word of God says that, the Word of God says this. Yeah, but remember, there's a whole lot of things the Word of God says, all right? And so in my life and in your life, I'm always finding myself falling short. I'm not living up to the true holiness that the Word of God has in my life. But if I'm not careful, I become legalistic. And so as soon as something happens, we just throw the Word of God up. Look at the Word. I believe in the Word. Do not misunderstand. The second week, we talked about the importance of the Word of God. But let me illustrate it this way. Christianity is not about legalism. Christianity is about relationship. See, it is no more right for us to always just throw up the Bible, got to do this, than it is if, let's do it this way. How many of you remember when you got married? The first time. No, I'm kidding. That was bad, Eddie. That was bad. I shouldn't have gone there. Okay. I was just mean-spirited. Forgive me. I apologize. I got to be good. All right? How many of you know that on that day, you signed some documents? Remember that? I know some of us, it's been a long time, but you signed some documents. And those documents were witnessed by whoever married you, and then they had to have a witness. And they had to be sent to the courthouse. And then a few weeks later or a few days later, they send back to you this certificate that's been stamped and said, you are now legally married, right? Now, how many of you know that if you get up every morning and you pull that marriage certificate out and say, I want to tell you something. Y'all ready? We're married, and bless God, I'm going to tell you, you got to treat me right. You got to cook me a meal 3 times a day. And I better have a hot breakfast. I told my wife I wanted a hot breakfast. She said, set your cornflakes on fire. She really didn't. She really didn't. I promise she didn't. I ask forgiveness, Lord. It's this whole thing here. You know, bless, and how many of you know your marriage is in trouble pretty quick? Right? Now, let me say this. How many of you know, though, that when you first get married, how many of you had dated some other people before you got married? How many of you dated somebody else that you didn't marry, right? Rest of you bunch of babies. It's like every man went, you big wimps, right? Come on, you dated. I got my hand up, all right? Okay, you dated. Those of y'all watching, I hope you got your hand up, okay? We dated. Now, how many of you know that, you know, the first few weeks, You've been in this pattern of dating, and so you see a good-looking man or a good-looking woman walk by, and you go, I might have asked them out. Why do y'all look at me like that? You'd been doing it for years. You had all the lines. You know, I wouldn't even start. I'm not even going to go there because I will get in trouble. You had all the dumb cliches and, all the things about, oh, no, can't do it, Eddie, don't go there. But you put them all out. And now you're married, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, I'm married. I signed a document. But let me help you. If you've been married 20 years and you still having to go back to the document, not dating around, we got an issue. There's a problem in your marriage. Why? Because your marriage has never moved past the point of a legal obligation into a relationship. In the kingdom of God, there are a lot of Christians who have never moved past the thou shalt nots and moved into thou shall do this. You should live for that. But why? Because they have never moved in to a true relationship. The Word of God also says that anything that's not of faith is sin. The book of Romans, the 14th chapter, kind of lays out this whole thing about meats offered to idols. And it goes into this and says, but whoever has doubts, in other words, about eating meats offered to idols, is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is, what's that word? Sin. If it's not of faith, it's sin. Now, how many of you, when you went to Kroger this week or wherever you buy groceries, how many of you went back to the butcher and said, hey, about this meat, did y'all offer that to idols? It's just been bothering me, and I've been buying meat here for years, and I'm just concerned that y'all been offering, you didn't ask that. Why? Because it's not relevant in our society. In that society, they offered meat to idols, but the deal was, here was the deal. I'll give it to you quickly for those of you who are interested in saving money. In that day, they had meat that was offered to idols, and what was left over, they had a section out back that they sold it really cheap. And so people who were on a budget went and bought the meat offered to idols. But there were other people who had served idols who said, I can't eat that meat because I know where it came from. See, here's what the scripture is saying to us. There are some things in our life that are doubtful that we need to refrain from. Okay? It's called personal convictions. All right? There are some of you who God says you don't need to be around certain places and do certain things that other people, it wouldn't bother. All right? But if God says, and you say, well, so-and-so gets to go, so I'm going to go too. No, no, no. You are not going in faith. And if it's not of faith, the scripture says it's sin. See, we've got a whole thing right now, and I'm going to get in trouble for doing this, but I just think as a pastor, I have to do some things. We got this whole thing right now. Everybody's freaking out about what's going to happen in September. We've been reading the books, Four Blood Moons and The Harbinger and all these things, and we're freaked out of our minds. Wait a minute. The Word of God says if it's not of faith, it's sin. All right? Now, I'm not saying don't look around, don't watch for the sign. I'm not saying, but we can't be walking around as believers in fear. Well, what's going to happen? Man, we're going to climb up in the mountains and hide out. Where do you find that in the Bible? The Word of God says, go you into all the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't live from fear. We've got to live from faith. And that's what he says to us. Another aspect of sin is pride. Pride is sin. Proverbs talks about haughty eyes and a proud heart produce sin, the unplowed field. What it's talking about is our heart hasn't been plowed up and brought into subjection to Jesus Christ. And you know what I found is pride brings about evil actions, and out of those evil actions, listen to me, hear what I'm going to say, every form of discrimination comes out of pride. You didn't hear me. I don't care if it's about color, if it's about a race issue, if it's about male, female, if it's about education, if it's about money, doesn't matter. It all comes out of pride. When you feel like you're better than somebody else, that's pride. Well, we don't want those kind of people at our church. You know what kind of people I want at this church and all Love and True churches? Everybody that's breathing. Now, I don't want that walking dead bunch. But you know what James says? James 2:9 says, but if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. If I am a respecter of persons, again, because of who they are, or how they look, or what they've got, or what they don't have, the Bible says that's pride and it's sin. Now, all of you today have been looking on this stage the entire time I've been preaching and said, is it Valentine's Day? And it's not. But I want to show you something about sin. Here's what I know. Remember, I read the scripture to you that talks about that there are some sins that are unto death, but there are other sins that are not. In other words, that there are some sins that really have greater consequences than others. And we don't talk about that much. We just say, well, all sin is sin. And it is. I agree with that. But in the natural, in the here and now, there are aspects of sin that are great. And I kind of want to illustrate that today with this. Let's say you lie. You know, it's not a big lie. It's one of those little lies. It's one of those that you say, oh, that color really looks good on you. Oh. See, the Lord corrected me right there. And you walk away and you've sinned, and the arrow comes in and it penetrates. But before the days are, you say, oh, God, forgive me, I lied. That was really the ugliest dress I've ever seen. And God, I please don't. And the Lord forgives you, and you move on. And then, you go a little bit longer, and all of a sudden, maybe the next day or the next week, or you get a little boastful. You start bragging about stuff. You start talking about you're the best basketball player since Michael Jordan because you scored, 3 points in some game or something. And you get, and so, the arrow pierces, but later that day, God, forgive me, and God forgives you, and the arrow comes out. But I don't know about you, but I found in my life that things kind of move up. And all of a sudden, we begin to allow bitterness. The Bible says that we need to be careful to forgive people because a root of bitterness will come in and it will defile many. So all of a sudden, we get that root of bitterness, and we realize it's there, and we go to God, and we say, oh, God, forgive us, forgive me. Lord, I want to be forgiven. But guess what? That leaves a little bit bigger hole, doesn't it? It kind of, I'm forgiven, but, you know, this couple of things here, not as bad. And then I find another one that's working in my life. Maybe I come to that place of, I'm involved in some kind of sinful lifestyle. I'm doing something that I shouldn't do. I know I shouldn't do it. I know the Word of God tells me not to live that way. I know I shouldn't be involved in that. I shouldn't be participating in that. But I go ahead. But then I come to that day of reckoning with God, and I say, God, please forgive me. And guess what? He forgives. You noticing a pattern here? Then we get involved in sexual sin. It's probably the predominant thing in our culture at this point. And I'm not going to name the sexual sin. It's just sexual sin. Whatever the sin is, sexual sin. And the Bible says this about sexual sin. It says that all other sin is without the body except sexual sin. In other words, that you're going to reap consequences to your body. If you sleep around, you've got the possibility of getting all kind of venereal diseases and AIDS and all these things. And we go to God and we say, God, I realize the error of my ways, and I ask for forgiveness. But guess what? When you get forgiven, but there's a pretty good hole there. You hang out with the wrong crowd, and all of a sudden the wrong crowd says, hey, man, take a hit of this. And you do it for fun for the first time, and then next week you're back at the same group, and before you know it, you're addicted, and somewhere down the road you get forgiveness. But there's this hole. And you say, oh, Pastor, doesn't God forgive and forget? He does. The problem is what it does to us. See, here's the deal. You may can tell that little white lie, and it's not going to do that much damage to you. And in a process of time, that thing will actually close up and heal. It'll have a little scar, but it'll close up and heal. But I want to tell you, there are some things that you open the door to. There are some of you who are sitting here today, and those of you who are watching me today, that there are some of us who, if we are honest, we did things as teenagers that we are now in our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, maybe even 60s or 70s, and we are still having to fight it because we opened the door, and the door, even though God forgave us, we're forgiven, but we've got this gaping hole that the enemy continues to come back to, and he continues to tempt us. See, here's what I know. Statistics tell us that 1 out of 4 people are predisposed to be alcoholics. I don't know who those 1 in 4 are, but here's what I do know. If you never take your first drink, that passes me in legalistic. No, I don't want you to have a hole the size of a freight train in your life that you're going to have to spend time for the next 20, 30, 40 years fighting because you were predisposed, you didn't know it, you took the drink, everybody else at the party went home, but you got wasted and you spent the next 30 years wasting your life. And you're going to fight it from then on. That's why God's not a spoil sport. God is saying to us, listen, I will forgive you. If you confess your sin, I am just and faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But oh, by the way, there are consequences to your actions. That's what nobody wants to talk about. Everybody wants to say, well, just confess, and I believe in that. And in a little bit, everybody's going to have a chance today to confess Jesus Christ and ask Him into their life to be forgiven of their sins. We believe in that. But I also know that if we are not careful, we are walking around with holes in our heart that God says, if you had never fallen into that sin, you'd never have to deal with that issue. So, Pastor, how do we overcome? How do we overcome this sin? Number one is you've got to name the sin. Name the sin. What is it? It's not a problem, it's a sin. I got this issue. No, you're lustful. Well, I got this problem. No, you're an alcoholic. Well, I got, see, we, again, see, the psalmist said this. He said, then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. He said, I didn't try to, why was it? He said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. He said, Lord, I just want you to forgive me of my stuff. Just go to him and say, God, I am the biggest liar. You know what will start happening? You'll stop lying because you'll get tired of calling yourself a liar. See, I've got to also decide to act against the sin. It's called repentance. In other words, I can't. This is where the body of Christ, especially in the Western world, is in trouble. We believe that salvation comes by grace through faith, it not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anybody boast. We understand that. The problem is that we have told people that, but people don't understand that when you get saved, you got to stop sinning. The Apostle Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So then he goes on. He gets really vehement about it. He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. See, if we get married, they're going to stop my check. So we love one another, and we're committed, but we just don't want to get, I'm going to talk about it. We don't want to get married because they're going to stop our check. Whoa, wait a minute. First of all, I'm ticked off at a government that prosecutes people for trying to do right. We've got a system that is royally fouled up where we honor and give to people who are living wrong and then penalize the person trying to do right. But having said that, my dear friend who is a believer, Pastor, will you just marry me in your office? We won't tell anybody. No, now you're defrauding the government. I've read in a book, that's a sin. See, we've got to come to the place where we change direction, change our life, and move in to what God has for us. That's what repentance is all about. It's not living the way I want to live. It's living the way He wants me to live. And lastly is this, to learn how to overcome sin is receiving God's forgiveness and power. It's not just forgiveness. It's also His power. The book of Colossians talks about it. I won't read it for the sake of time, but it talks about that we were dead in sins, but yet Christ has raised us to life, that we are in Him. We are in Christ, and we're walking with Him. And so today, we've got to come to that place where we learn how to walk in the power and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's how we overcome sin. But let me say this to you again. Understand that every sin has a consequence. And that's why God does not want us to sin. God's not a spoil sport. God's not trying to keep us from having a good time. God knows that if we transgress His law, that something is going to happen. And we're going to be forgiven, but we're going to walk around with these wounds sometimes for weeks, months, years, and decades because of the problem of sin. Whatever happened to sin, here's what happened to sin. Jesus Christ nailed it to His cross. And you and I have the right and the opportunity to receive His forgiveness in our lives today. Amen.